It's a story that sounds like it's straight out of a political thriller, but as we can tell, it is all too real. A new film takes a look inside the shadowy world of the political process, and one reporter in particular's quest to get to the heart of a question that affects all of us wherever we are on the political spectrum. Who is influencing our elections? How are they doing it? Why are they doing it? You might know director and producer Kimberly Reed from her groundbreaking, amazing, also watch this one, autobiographical documentary Prodigal Sons. Now her Sundance Award-winning new film is out. It's called Dark Money, and it's opening across the country. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you very much.
Oh, I'm so excited about this film. I've been telling everybody everything about it ever since I saw it. Let's start with the concept of dark money. For those of us, you know, we hear phrases like campaign finance reform all the time, and maybe we've even heard the phrase dark money. What does that really mean, though? What are we talking about when we say dark money?
Yeah, so dark money is just money that goes into elections to oppose or, you know, try to defeat certain candidates where we don't know where the money is coming from. In the wake of the Watergate, you know, scandals, there was a broad movement for reform because there was a lot of unaccounted for money sloshing around that was used for all sorts of nefarious purposes in the wake of Watergate. And there was a big push, in large part led by Republicans who saw their brand name really tarnished and wanted to do something about that. So it was a big raft of reforms that said essentially, we need to know where the money is coming from. I mean, there's always been money trying to influence politics. I think there always will be a certain amount of money influencing politics. But, you know, after Citizens United's decision from the Supreme Court came down in 2010, that money can be unlimited. But they also presume that we would know where the money was coming from, that that would be disclosed so that as voters we can kind of look at what the influences are, figure out who's trying to pay off whom, who's trying to buy whom, and weed that out and vote accordingly. But we've seen in the last couple of years this trend towards using a lot of dark money. We don't know where it's coming from, and that disables us as viewers, as members of the public, from assessing what the influences on these elected officials are.
And it's not just domestic. The way that it's set up now is we can't even tell if the money is coming from foreign entities.
If you don't know where it's coming from, you don't know where it's coming from, whether it's from within this country or outside of this country. I mean, it actually got lost in a lot of the hubbub with the election around 2016 and came out in September, October last year. There's a great story that documented for the first time Chinese billionaires giving money to a super PAC that went to the Jeb Bush campaign. That's part of the reason we didn't hear about it was because it was going to the Jeb Bush campaign and he dropped out soon after that. But yeah, that's something that we can trace. What it gets really scary, and we see hints of it all over the place, is that foreign money, especially we know that there was a lot of Russian money in the last election, has been given to influence American political campaigns. And if there's one thing I think all Americans can agree on, it's that foreign countries should not be trying to influence their own elections.
Now, I want to talk about that. Before we get into the lack of this being the partisanship aspect of it, the idea of influence, because I think all of us think, I'm pretty smart. I go to the polls as an informed voter. I have these issues I care about. And yet, this film makes it very clear how easy it is to manipulate us. Because what this comes down to isn't about manipulating the ballot boxes. This isn't about manipulating the results. It's literally about manipulating the minds of the voters. And also gerrymandering. But specifically, how do I get someone to vote for my guy?
Absolutely. I mean, what we do in the film, I think, is to take some of those dots that you just kind of, you know, laid out. I think a lot of us suspect that there are these different dots, but we never quite get them connected. And I think what our film does is tell as simple as that story can get, and it's still a pretty twisty-turny, convoluted mystery novel, but as simple as a manner as you can get that story, I think we lay out the dots and connect the dots. And that just kind of goes to show how this dark money shell game operates all the time. We showed the film in Nashville. A week before we showed the film at the Nashville Film Festival, there was a ballot initiative where they were voting to as to whether or not they should approve some new funding streams that would provide a public transportation system for Nashville. Some dark money came in. It was pretty quickly identified as Koch Brothers money. They often play in elections having to do with public transportation. So let's just focus on that just for a second. Why do two brothers from Kansas City want to play in an election in Nashville? I mean, shouldn't it be up to people in Nashville as to whether or not they want to have public transportation? But let's just set that aside for a second, because there was another kind of tranche of dark money that came into that election at the last second, and nobody knew where it was coming from until some dogged reporters uncovered the fact that it was coming from the guy in town who owns the car dealerships, right? So, surprise, surprise, the guy who sells a bunch of cars in town doesn't want public transportation. I think that we should be able to have that debate, right, about whether or not we should have public transportation in our town. And the guy from the car dealership, we should give him a voice in that debate, and he should be able to argue as loud as he wants that we should not have public transportation. But what I think is particularly galling about the way that anonymous money functions is that if one rich person in this case can hide their influence, hide where it's coming from, make it look like it's this broad-based grassroots political movement, that totally distorts the will of the voter. And all of a sudden, one person who's got some money and the means to hide it is counterbalancing the votes of millions of people who live in that city.
And one of the things I think the film does very well, most of the film is really set in this small town in Montana, and you use Montana as this great example of what happens with dark money and how it has been used and the way that it can be uncovered. And one thing that is very, very clear is this is an episode that this is an issue that affects both Republicans and Democrats, and both Republican and Democratic public servants have been affected by this, have had their careers torpedoed by this issue, because it's not about these issues, it's about money and business interests.
That's right. That's right. A lot of times when money goes underground, when it becomes anonymized, right, the only reason that people are doing that is because they don't want to have their fingerprints on it. And usually it's because there's a really negative attack behind it, that my candidate, if we're running against each other I want to attack you, it may not look good for me to put my name on this attack ad, because voters start to associate me with this negativity of campaigns, and they're always attacking each other. It's distasteful. I don't want to be any part of that. So what we're seeing more and more is that the negativity that comes in campaigns is coming from this anonymous money.
And the emotional aspect of it, the appeal to voters' emotions and their single issues, where you can be a business interest that really wants a particular tract of land or really wants the water rights somewhere, but the mailers that start to go out are about that other candidate believes that every woman should have an abortion. That candidate is going to take away your guns. That candidate, and it comes from a group called Concerned Moms Against Sexual Predators or something like that.
Mothers Against Child Predators, which is one of the groups that we were looking at.
Which I love.
Yeah, right. And they sent out mailers in the very last days of the election attacking a very conservative Republican who was an incumbent, who had ticked off some folks on the far right for one reason or another. He became the subject of some attacks for the postcard that you're probably referring to. It came from a group called Mothers Against Child Predators, and they were comparing this guy, this elected official, his name is John Ward, comparing him to John Wayne Gacy, because it was a cloture vote to have debate on the floor about the death penalty. The guy was a very conservative Catholic. He didn't believe in the death penalty. He wanted to have a discussion. And wanting to have that discussion about the death penalty made him equivalent to John Wayne Gacy.
Who is not from Montana.
He's not from
who
Montana.
Who was not executed in Montana. Who was not executed at any point in this guy's political career.
Nothing to do with anything other than a way to tarnish this guy and do so at the very last minute when he didn't have a chance to respond to it. So it's all about just carpet bombing people in the last phases of the election.
And who are Mothers Against Predators? Because there are no... Who is this group? It's so, not a bunch of concerned moms.
It was two people with a treasurer and a post office box. They got three people to sign their name on, you know, and that's all we know about them. For the most part, you can't even find that out until probably 2 years after the election cycle. So by the time you figure it out, we're already on to the next election cycle, and we can't do anything about that group.
So how, I watched this story unfolding, and this is not a new moment in American history, as you point out and the film points out. Guys with money getting their sticky fingers all over elections, and not just elections, we're talking about the way that it is such a concerted effort, and you show this in the film, it's also the courts, it's also loading up the courts, and it's also buying off the media.
Yep.
is a long, venerable, it's a venerable tradition in American politics. Yep. And we've had this moment in the 1970s where we set up a system to safeguard against that. And now, not just since 2010, but in particular the last 2 years, that all seems to have just gone completely out the window. What's changed, and why aren't we outraged about it? Why aren't we doing what we were doing in the 70s, or our parents and grandparents were, which is taking to the streets in fury about this?
Yeah, I think the reason is obfuscation. Our movie is about intentional obfuscation. A lot of times the stories are just like too like cloaked in darkness that you can't even tell what's going on. And the people who are pulling off these schemes know that people aren't going to pay attention. And we saw that change in Montana. We saw people pay. There's a political culture there that is based on, number one, a lot of press attention to it. I'm talking about like from 2012 through when we finished the film and shooting there in 2017. Hundreds of newspaper stories on the front page above the fold about campaign finance, about following the money and understanding what the influences are behind these people who are running for office or elected officials who hold office. And I think that part of that comes because of Montana's rich history of being very skeptical of corporate money in politics. There's not a lot of people that live there. It's incredibly rich in natural resources. So the story you see time and time again is people coming in from out of state to develop those resources, make money, and then leave, leaving Montanans to clean up the mess. And a lot of times that's an environmental mess. So I think that kind of having kind of baked into your character is something that I had been from Montana that I think let me see that there was a story developing here. Having that baked into your kind of DNA as somebody coming from Montana and being skeptical of this corporate money and politics led to a political culture where people pay attention to this a lot. But it can happen anywhere. And that's really what like drove this film, took 6 years to make. And I think that's one of the main things that drove me, is that if we can show people how they flip the script and really pass some very strong campaign finance laws and built a culture of running political campaigns that was cleaner than it used to be. Like, we've gone down this road and we've seen the seen the corruption that money in politics creates, and we've found ways to clean up our elections. I just saw that by telling that story, you know, hopefully what we can do is inspire people in other states to follow that same game plan.
And I think you make it very clear in the film that the cost to politicians, to people who want to be in public service for whatever reason, everybody is affected by this. You show people who actually started out taking money from these groups, and then when they didn't want to vote along a certain line, we're told, well, you have to, or we're going to take you down.
Yeah, I think a lot of us, you know, you hear people talking about the role of lobbyists or the role of special interests and the influence that they can have on our politics. And that's very much true. I think there's always going to be special interests in lobbyists who are trying to press one issue or another, as there should be. I mean, if you're an elected official, you should be listening to your constituency, and sometimes that comes in expert kind of influence coming from people who work in that industry, and so you listen to them, and at least you know what the vested interests are there. But what we're talking about, what we saw happen in Montana in the 2008-2010 elections, again, it's just a microcosm of what's going on nationwide. But what we saw is that we're not talking about lobbying. We're not talking about special interests trying to get elected officials to move one way or another. We're talking about a dark money group having this whole campaign package where you as a candidate could go home and not do anything else for the rest of the election cycle, and these folks would just run your campaign for you. Now, the one thing that you can't do between an outside group, a dark money group, and a candidate, the one thing you can't do is coordinate with each other. That spending has to be done independently of each other. And what we found was one group that was just running everything. And we're talking about like writing all the letters and creating all the postcards and printing all the postcards and mailing all the postcards and penning a letter that was supposed to come from your spouse, encouraging you to mailing all of that information. And we haven't even started talking about the data that involves. They had walk lists and spreadsheets that would tell you that each door you knocked on, whether they were interested in Second Amendment issues or right to life issues or this or that. So there's very customized, targeted voter data that, you know, a single candidate running for state office in Montana was just that having access to that data was way beyond the means of any individual.
And so you have these very, really on a very micro level, these candidates who seem to be from just a small community, but they've got just absolutely almost insurmountable amounts of money behind them. So, of course, how is that election not going to be influenced? Before we go, I want another question, because one of the things I very deeply appreciated about this film in this news cycle that just feels overwhelming and often helpless and hopeless, this is a film that is part of this beautiful body of work this year of documentaries about courage and about standing up for what is right and about hope. And this is a film that really also takes the view that we are not powerless, that we as voters and as concerned citizens do have an impact on our government. Can you talk a little about what we as concerned voters might be able to do on our own local and national levels?
Yeah. The first thing is just get engaged. And I know that almost sounds like a cliche, but it doesn't happen nearly enough. The number of people who vote is not high enough. There are a lot of disengaged voters that don't even, you know, pay attention to things.
And down ticket, like vote in your local elections.
Yep, absolutely, all the way down the ticket. And like having that voter engagement and that dialogue with your elected officials, that's how democracy works. It is incumbent upon you to get involved. And, you know, there's even a lot of people who say that they're politically minded who aren't engaged enough in that dialogue. And if you're feeling a little bit disengaged, there's always a local level that you can plug into, whether it's your city council or your school board, or like, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where, you know, it really affects your day-to-day life more than anything else. So getting engaged is really crucial. Our film also tells this parallel story about the importance of the press in order to follow these stories and to you know, show where the money is coming from. I mean, that's the basic structure of our film, is us following an investigative reporter as he digs into this mystery novel. So not having a watchdog press that is paying attention to these issues is very detrimental to democracy as well. The motto for the Washington Post is democracy dies in darkness, and you know, I have to agree with that. So supporting a press, like if you're, you know, in New York, subscribe to the New York Times. If you're in Washington, to the Washington Post. If you're in a smaller town, subscribe to that hometown newspaper. If you've moved to New York or Washington, still subscribe to your hometown newspaper, because that sort of active press coverage is what's really, really essential for this. And in terms of solutions for people to really get involved in, I think our film points at that. There's a lot of organizations that are out there that are working on campaign finance reform. There's some national ones like Common Cause and Every Voice that are really pushing to make democracy equal to every citizen, so that we don't have this imbalance that dark money, that anonymous money brings into our elections. And, you know, the real key to all of this is to put power back in the hands of citizens. The way to do that is to keep candidates for office from talking only to millionaires at cocktail parties. And there are some great ways to do that, especially with public financing. If you have a pool of public financing, especially ones that match funding, like you're running for office in New York City, is a good example. If you raise $100 from me and $100 from the person over there, if the city matches that $100 in New York City right now, they talk about doing it 6-1, they're thinking about bumping it up to 8-1. All of a sudden, you having a conversation with an everyday person like me is going to be much more worth your while as a candidate than just going to cocktail parties with millionaires. So that is a really successful program. When you have small donor matching financing, public financing like that, what you see is more women running, more people of color running. You basically get
more young people.
You get more young people. You get essentially, you know, something other than rich old white guys who control power, who, you know, pass that power on to a bunch of other rich old white guys. So yes, those are things that we can all do. We can always demand disclosure from our elected officials and make sure that we know where the money is coming from, and they know that we're going to be voting on that issue. And there's plenty of ways to get involved. We actually have a good list of it at on our website, which is darkmoneyfilm.com, and we have a page there called Get Involved. There's a list of different organizations and ways to plug in, and you know, even host screenings and things like that.
Fantastic. Because whatever your political views or your party, whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, Independent, Libertarian, Green Party, we all should be standing behind the integrity of the voting process and the political process and the fairness of that. And this is such a compelling, thrilling, suspenseful way of getting that story out there. Thank you so much. It's an amazing film. It's really spectacular, and I think everybody who sees it is going to have a lot to talk about, and then I hope a lot of actions to take. So thank you so much. The film is called, once again, Dark Money.